This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
27th of Shawwal. Yeah. Again, stretch. Nice. Hey, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mabuthi rahmatin lil alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallim ma ba'd. Al-yawm 27 من شهر شعبان 1444 الموافق ل 20 من شهر مارس 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويرفع درجة ابن كثير وقدره في الأليين. So today, inshallah, we continue from where we stopped last class. And I believe last time we reached the same of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhal insanu innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about the struggle of human beings in this dunya. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us about the fact that we're going to meet him one day, all of us. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَادِحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. You're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the efforts you put in this dunya, whatever action, whatever deed you did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep the full record of it, and also you will see it in detail on the Day of Judgment. And we mentioned important hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the advice given to him by Jibreel alayhi salam. When Jibreel told him, Ya Muhammad, عِشْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَأَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُهُ وَأَعْمَلْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَجْزِيٌ بِهِ وَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّ شَرَفَ الْمُؤْمِنِ قِيَامُهُ بِاللَّيْلِ وَعِزُّهُ إِسْتَغْنَاؤُهُ عَنِ النَّاسِ. So that's a very important hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reminded about the reality of this life and also the hereafter. And draw the attention of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the most important thing to be done. And this is an advice to us, not Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam alone. This is advice to us that no matter how much you live in this life, a day will come where you leave this life to the hereafter. And that means you have to be prepared. And you have to make sure that you're always up to date in terms of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. وَأَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُهُ. And he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you can love whomsoever you want to love, you know, but you should know that a day will come, you will leave that person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which means you just have to be very careful and make sure that your love to that person is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you do it in the correct way. So that it will benefit you in this dunya and the akhirah. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ فَقَدْ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةً إِيمَانٍ. Three things, if you have them, then you have already tasted the sweetness of iman. One of them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. To love somebody not for anything except for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, أَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُهُ. He says, وَعْمَلْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَجْزِيٌ بِهِ. And do whatever you want. Whatever you want to do, just do it. Yeah. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَادِحًا فَمُلَاقِي. فَإِنَّكَ مَجْزِيٌ بِهِ. A day will come, you will be rewarded accordingly. Your reward, your jaza, the hisab will be based on what you did. So you have the freedom to go and do whatever you want to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide you. And he reminded you about what he wants and told you about the accountability that is ahead of you. وَعَمَلْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَجْزِيٌ بِهِ وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ شَرَفَ الْمُؤْمِنِ قِيَامُهُ بِاللَّيْلِ وَعِزُّهُ إِسْتِغْنَاءُهُ عَنِ النَّاسِ. The sharaf for the believer is the qiyam al-layl. We talked about this last week. And also, وَعِزُّهُ إِسْتِغْنَاءُهُ عَنِ النَّاسِ. If you want to become aziz al-nafs, that somebody who is mukarrab, people respect and they honor you, you know, and they value you, and they don't disrespect you. No humiliation, no embarrassment, no disrespect. You have to stay away from that which people have. Don't show anyone interest in what he has, then people will love you. Ya ayyuha al-insan innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqih. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِ. Since he says فَمُلَاقِي, so you're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you meet Allah, what happens after that? So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell us some of the most important thing that will take place on the Day of Judgment, which is distribution of the result. Yeah, of your imtihan. Here we are under imtihan, a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَمَلًا. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test you to see who is the best in terms of deed. So when do you take this, the result of this test? When you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. SubhanAllah. Very terrifying day, especially for the wrongdoers, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ حَمَلَ ظُلْمًا. So the result is going to be given to everyone on the Day of Judgment. Allah says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. People they will be divided into two categories, two groups. Those who receive their book with the right hand, and those who receive it with the left hand, in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in this surah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِي كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Whoever happens to receive his book with the right hand, he will receive a very easy hisab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, Ya Rasulullah, are you going to remember your family on the Day of Judgment? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. But there are three places where nobody will remember anyone. Yeah, these are the hardest moment in the hereafter. You know, the hereafter is divided into segments, in different places. And that's how you should understand the nusus. Then you will avoid any possible understanding of contradiction between the nusus. Otherwise, you will say, Allah says here this, and in another place he said something else. Yeah, because we are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Yawm al-Qiyamah according to different locations and circumstances. Sometimes people talk, sometimes they argue, sometimes jadal, sometimes silence, like that. So he said, there are three moments where nobody will remember anyone. And the first one, he said, the tabayu suhuf. When the suhuf, these are the books of record that are coming from the sky. You know, and everyone's going to receive his book with either the right hand or the left hand, waliyadu billah. At that moment, a person is not thinking of anything except that book, looking at the book to see where is it going to be located. And this is not based on our choice. Yeah, you take it with any hand you want. No. It's based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned. So it's going to stick to the hand which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it for. SubhanAllah. So you're the one who will make a choice. When? Now. Where do you want to get the book from? You have to make a choice now. You cannot make the choice on the Day of Judgment, like what the believers told the munafiqeen when they are crossing the sirat, and the believers have the light, and the munafiqeen, they don't have any light. They say, "Unzuruna naqtabis min nurikum," please look at us, so we can take some part of your light. Qila irji' wara'akum faltamisu nura. They will tell them, go back, so we can get the light, because you cannot take light here. So what I'm trying to say is, this is the time for us to prepare for that. You cannot make any preparation. You cannot make any fixation. You cannot reform what you did on the Day of Judgment. It doesn't work. That day is just the day to collect what you have done with no modification. You get precisely what you earned, what you planted. You know, here in this dunya, you will receive it on the day of judgment when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the Prophet said this is the first place in the tatayiru as-suhuf, when the suhuf are coming from the sky. And the second moment is when the scale is being fixed. In the mayudha al-mizan, when the scale is being fixed. Yeah, at that time also nobody will think of anything. Yeah, just waiting to see which part of your scale will be heavier than the other one. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ فَمَنْ ثَقَلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. If you have the mizan of your righteousness, you know, is heavier, then you succeed. If it is lighter than the evil deed, then this will be the tragedy. خُسْرَانَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. So at that time, nobody will think of anything. No family, no yourself. They're just focusing on the scale to see what exactly is going to happen after that. And the source of the Sharia also confirmed that actually your action and you also yourself, you and your action both are going to be placed on the scale. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Kahf, فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. Ibn Kathir quoted the statement of those scholars who believe that يُوزَنُ الْمَرْءُ وَعَمَلِهِ يُوزَنُ الْمَرْءُ وَعَمَلُهُ. You know, he and his deed, both are going to be placed on the scale. Yeah, that shows the importance of opening a very, very, very strong eye these days to make sure that you are taking from halal things. You Allah, a person will regret a lot when he takes from the haram things because the body will be fed by haram. So imagine what will happen on the scale when he's placed there with the haram thing, because the heart will be covered by the run that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And also, if that happens, then it will be so light, subhanAllah, it will be so light. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person will be brought on the day of judgment, he will be placed on the scale, لَا يَزِنُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضَ. He will not even have the weight, the mass of the wing of a mosquito. The scholar said, because the heart is so light, so light, so light. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَأَفْئِدَتُهُمْ مُهْطِعِينَ مُقْنِعِ رُؤُوسِهِمْ لَا يَرْتَدُّ إِلَيْهِمْ طَرْفُهُمْ وَأَفْئِدَتُهُمْ هَوَى. أعوذ بالله. On the day of judgment, the heart of those people will be so light in a way it could fly, you know. So light, so light, so light, you know. So if you put them on the scale, because the heart, you know, by the way, نَمَا الْمَرْءُ بِقَلْبِهِ, might be so bulk, you know, so huge, but the heart is so slim, you know, so light. And the person will not have any value in the eyes of Allah. When they laugh at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud because his shin is very thin, you know. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَتَضْحَكُونَ مِنْ دِقَّةِ سَاقَيْهِ. You were laughing at the nature of his shin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَاللَّهِ لَهُمَا أَثْقَلُ فِي الْمِيزَانِ مِنْ جَبَلِ أُحَدٍ. They are heavier on the scale than the Mount of Uhud. The thing is the heart, you know. These type of people, maybe you might carry them with one hand, you know. But when they are placed on the scale, then this is when the reality will appear. The value will come. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there will be some people that they have no value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. They have no value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the second place. Yeah, but as I said, we decide where do we want to collect the book from. We want to use our right hand or left hand. You decide now. Yeah, and that decision, whatever decision you make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take that one. It's up to you to decide which one. The last place is the mujawazat al-sirat, when the people are trying to cross the sirat. Yeah, that's the worst place actually in the hereafter. Because the sirat, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in that long, beautiful, scary hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, it's a bridge thinner than the hair, sharper than the sword, and also alamatin jahannam. Jahannam is underneath, and sirat will be on top of jahannam. And ala jambati sirat kalalib. you have the those kalub, the hooks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed them on the side of the sirat. Their job is to look for somebody who betrayed amana in this life. Yeah. So that's how. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after mentioning that scary part, he says, "Fanajun." Fanajun musallamun. Wa najin makhdush. Wa mukardalun fi nari jahannam. Aw kama qala Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm trying to quote the alfaz of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he categorized people on the sirat into three types. Those people who pass the sirat, they say najun musallam. Peacefully he will pass the sirat. Wa najun makhdush. You know, you have the peaceful one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam categorized them according to their categories. Sallallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala an yaj'alana min al-awa'in. Because those ones, they cross the sirat like lightning. They even don't know when did they already pass, you know. Very quick, like a blink of an eye, they already reach the qantara, which is after the sirat. Subhanallah. This is when you see the gap and the differences between the iman of the people in that place. And there are some people who will be at the speed of the wind. Some people who will be at the speed of the human being. Some people horses, some according to your righteous deed and your iman, you know. And you have some people who will crawl on the sirat. You have some people who will drag on the stomach. A'udhu billah. And you can imagine, how is it possible for that person to pass, you know. But the one who passed very quickly without, I mean, the righteous people, according to their iman, are the one that the Prophet also mentioned in the first part of that hadith, when he says some of them are the speed of the light, some of them are the speed of the horse. So those one will go without any problem. And you have the second category, who will pass. Yeah, they pass the test and they pass the sirat, but makhidush. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that the scholar said what he meant is those kalalib at the side, they take him, you know, and he managed to escape. They catch him, so they scratch, you know. Whenever they catch, he is fighting to go. So they said this is his life in this dunya. Sometimes he betrays the amana, come and fix it. Betrayed, come and fix, you know. Sometimes make tawbah like this until the time he goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forgive him completely, he gets the same treatment when he's crossing the sirat. That's why the best thing is, look at your attitude and your behavior. If you know that you cannot take amana, wallahi, just apologize to the person and tell them, no, I can't. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Dhar, in your uhibbuk, he says, "La ta'amrana 'ala ithnayn wa la tawallayna mala yatim." He said, "Don't you ever agree to take care of the wealth of the yatim?" Because this is very heavy amana. Yeah. And you see the big amana, right? They're becoming the leader, you know. And you have the small mini amana at home, amana between you and your wife, between you and your children, the wife and the children, the wife and the husband, and an amana that somebody entrusted you and give it to you, you know. And nowadays, we include these organizations, you know, heavy amana that is placed on their shoulder. These are old tahtahana. Allah, that is very, very, very scary hadith mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, talks about this amana, you know. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Tumathalu li al-rajul amanatuhu yawm al-qiyamati kahayatiha kamadu fi alayhi." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the person who took the amana, and he will bring the amana. He will see it exactly the way it was given to him. فَيَرَاهَا فَيَعْرِفَهَا. He will see it and he will recognize it. Yeah, that's the amana that was given to him. SubhanAllah, even saying this, he knows that, you know, that there is something going to happen. You know. فَيَحْمِلُهَا عَلَى مَنْكِبَيْهِ. And then he will carry it. He go to the sirat with it. You know, SubhanAllah. When that person is coming to you with the amana, he entrusted you. Why? Because of your righteousness according to what he sees. But then that person betrayed. You can see jaza'an wifaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that person who betrayed the amana will be treated in the same way also on the sirat. You know, when he carried the amana, it will be going. the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hatta idha dhanna annahu najin," until the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him believes that khalas, he crossed the sirat, he passed. Zallat an mankibayhi, and then the amana will slip on from his shoulder. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fayahwi fi athariha abad al-abidin." He's going to keep on following that amana inside Jahannam abad al-abidin. So that's why, if you know you are weak, you cannot take care of the amana, just tell them no. Iwallah is better for you. Ask them to look for somebody else. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first thing that will be taken in one of the early things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove in this ummah is what? The amana. Somebody says, "Ya Rasulullah, when is the last day?" He says, "Idha dhiyat al-amana fantadhir as-sa'ah." When the amana has been neglected, and the hadith of Hudhayfa says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first thing that will be gone in this ummah is the amana. He said, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I don't care, I deal with any person. If it is a Muslim, I know the taqwa will deprive him from cheating. If he's not Muslim, I know he has somebody that we can report to him. They have a leader, and he's afraid of that leader. So I don't care, I deal with him, because if he cheated, I can go and report to that person, and that person is going to hold him responsible. He said, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even kuffar also tried their best. But he said, I lived a time where I didn't know who to trust. Don't forget, this is Hudhayfa ibn Yaman, right? 1,000, how many years ago, you know? In our time, I don't know. Iwallah, go and ask anyone who's doing business. What is number one headache you have in your head? He will tell you amana. Yeah. And go into the society and see. Rarely to find somebody, you know, and you are duna bil asaba. This person is Amin, you know, Ma'judi. You might think somebody is okay, but soon when you put the amana, things will go in the wrong way. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told that person, because amana is different types. Yeah, not just giving you something to keep it. No, it's of different types. And it's a very sensitive thing. You know? Very sensitive thing. If I give you something and I told you, this money is for Khalid, please pass it to him in Bilal. Get it? No. Which kulliyah you study? Engineering. You know? Okay? And Mazen got hungry. I gave him 10 ringgit. I said, please, give, this is for Khalid, pass it to him. Mazen hungry. I gave him the money. When he reached the ATM, Bank Islam before engineering, right? When he reached Bank Islam, he said, okay, I already have my, before the Bank Islam, he uses that 10 ringgit, you know, in those canteen before the Bank Islam. Why? Because he has money in the bank and he doesn't want to go. Rather than going to the bank and picking up his own money, let me use Khalid's one and then I will just pick up 10 ringgit and pass it to him. Yeah, that's betraying the amana. It looks so conservative, but this is how it is. Whether we like it or don't like it, this is how it is. He has to apologize to Khalid and tell him, Khalid, Ibrahim gave me 10 ringgit, but unfortunately I need food. I use this one, but I replace it with mine. I hope it's okay with you. And at the first place, he should do istighfar when he doesn't need to do that. He can't. And if, let's say, when I gave the money to Mazin, and then on the way, you get it? On the way, somebody stopped him and scared him. Give me the money. Sorry, Mazin, I make you so weak. Somebody scared him and told him, give me that money. Mazin was afraid of being in trouble. He gave him the money. Because he can't. The man is pointing a weapon at him. He took the money. What does Mazin tell Khalid? That my money is missing. He come to me first. The money you gave me is missing. And I have to pay Khalid another one. I did with Khalid. We cannot charge Mazin at all, because there is no negligence in his side and our money was missing. I just have to pay him another one. I pay him. But if, let's say, Mazin used that money and then he went to the ATM and he took from his money and then somebody took that money, he cannot come Islamically and tell me that that money is missing, because my money is not missing. Mazen ate it. He can't. His money is missing. He has to go back to the ATM and take another one. That's how amana is. So that's why when somebody tells you that they have amana in the bank, you have a big question mark. Do they even study fiqh and know what amana is all about? If they see the sensitivity the scholars put in the amana, they will change that title because they know that this is a joke. For you to give somebody money and he use it and he still call that the amana remains in the way it is. That has been violated. What he does is that he borrowed that money. Now it is loan on his shoulder. Any other additional amount he added on top of that when he's returning back, it will be riba. Although they call it fawaid. So these are the hadith of amana. So that's therefore my humble advice is that when you know that you're weak and it is not necessary and mandatory for you to take the amana, please stay away from it. And when you take the amana, be very sensitive and don't worry about what people are going to say. Nowadays, we are afraid of what people are going to tell us. You're very conservative, so radical. Let them go ahead and say whatever they say. The point is, between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is settled. Yeah. Don't worry about what people are going to describe you or being so shallow. You know, this is childish, you know, cartoon show, you know. No problem. As long as this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with, it's okay. Let them describe it in the way they wanted to describe. So these are the three places where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said a person will never remember another person. And the worst one is the last place, which is crossing the Sirat. And my dear brothers and sisters, let's work for it. You see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he talks about this Sirat, and he talks about the aqibah, the evil consequence of somebody who goes to the Sirat without preparation, right after that, look at the ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned after that. He says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. I really love this ayah so much. You know. Allah says, isn't it the time? You know, look at the sequence, you know. Allah talks about the heavy things that will happen on the Day of Judgment. And then he asks us this question. He says, isn't it the best time for those people who claim to be believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have the real taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To have their heart being very attentive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bala, wallahi, this is the real time. So these places are mentioned to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that we can prepare for that. You know, not to regret when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Yeah, the worst type of regret is the regret in that place. In Surah Al-Fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surah Al-Fajr, يَوْمَ إِذِنْ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّا لَهُ الذِّكْرَةِ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّا لَهُ الذِّكْرَةِ. You know, it's always worse to reflect and to remember at the time that remembrance and reflection will never benefit. Yeah. قَالَ فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ. So one of these places you can see is the thing that the place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned here. He says, the one who receives his book, بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. If your book is given at the right hand, you will receive a very easy hisab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An authentic hadith was narrated by Imam Ahmad and also in the As-Sahih that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and there's a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, مَنْ نُوْقِشَ الْحِسَابَ عُذِّبْ قَالَتْ قُلْتُ أَفَلَيْسَ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَسُوفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا قَالَ لَيْسَ ذَلِكَ بِالْحِسَابِ وَلَكِنَّ ذَلِكَ الْعَرْضِ مَنْ نُوْقِشَ الْحِسَابَ عُذِّبْ. وَهَكَذَا رَوَهُ الْبُخَارِي وَمُسْلِمٌ وَالتِّرْمِذِي وَالنَّسَائِي. In another narration from Aisha radiallahu anha, قَالَتْ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ أحد يحاسب يوم القيامة إلا معذبا. سبحان الله. فقلت يا رسول الله أليس يقول الله عز وجل فسوف يحاسب حسابا يسيرا؟ قال ذلك العرض فإنه من نوقش الحساب عذب. وقال بيده على إصبعه كأنه ينكت. وقد رواه أيضا أن عمرو ابن علي بإسناد أن عائشة فذكر الحديث. So these are the riwayat from Aisha radiallahu anha that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man nuqish al-hisaba udhi." If the real hisab is going to be observed on you, you will definitely get in trouble. Yes, I always try to give us a very simple way of understanding, you know, of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ya'asimana wa ya'afiana. But those people who went into investigation in any country, if they talk about their stories, subhanAllah, things which you don't believe, that human beings reach this capacity of investigation and observation and monitoring. Things which you don't even remember you did, and they will tell you those ones. That's human capacity which is very deficient. Imagine Rabbul Alameen will tell you what you did. Imagine Rabbul Alameen is the one that will invite you for accountability, you know, will talk about your life. You know that wallahi, every single thing is going to be stated because nothing is neglected. No matter how much tiny it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded things that you don't even pay attention to them, they were there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and He recorded everything precisely. He gives you the most accurate information about your life. So imagine this, you know, Allah is going to do the hisab for you. You know, hisab daqiq. So He says, man nuqish al-hisab, if this hisab is going to be observed on you, you will definitely get into trouble because everything is going to be brought out. That's why the mujrimeen will say, what? Ma li hadha al-kitabi la yughadiru saghiratan wala kabiratan illa ahsaha. What's wrong with this book? You know, even these tiny, tiny and simple things also are mentioned. Allah says, wajidu ma amilu hadira. Whatever they did, they will find it there in detail. So, man nuqish al-hisab a'udhib, if Allah is going to observe the hisab, you will definitely get into trouble. So Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, alaysa Allahu yaqul, fasawfi hasabu hisaba yasira? I found in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the believers will receive a very easy and simple hisab. Qala innama dhalika aw dhalika al-ard. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innama dhalika al-ard. He said, that was al-ard. Al-ard is the one that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in another hadith when he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring a believer and He brought him closer to Him. وَيَضَعُهُ فِي كَنَفِهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put him inside His hijab. It means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover the believer in the way nobody knows what is going on between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk to a person and Allah will remind him about his deeds. Very heavy moment, you know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yusallimana. In that place, a believer will receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the dark side of his life. Why did you do this? Last time we did this and that. Why? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, until time a person will start thinking of khalas. Most likely, Jannah might not be possible to him. He will cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, no worries. He says, Satartuha alayka fi dunya wa ana aghfiruha laka al-yawm. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, don't worry. I concealed your affairs in the dunya, and today I will forgive everything you did. SubhanAllah. He will tell him, in the dunya, I concealed your affairs. I did not let others see this, and today also I forgive. And that's it. They will take him to paradise. That's the easy hisab for the believers. That's why the Nusus mentioned that for the believers, Yawm al-Qiyamah is going to be kaqadir ma bayna salat al-dhuhr wal asr. Very simple hisab, but very light hisab. And they will get the best place. So we really need to prepare for this. Yeah, because you have to work for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعَيَهَا. If you want the akhirah and you work for it, yeah, you cannot sleep and say that, yes, I want the akhirah to be better. He says, تَرْجُوا النَّجَاتَ وَلَمْ تَسْلُقْ طَرِيقَتَهَا إِنَّ السَّفِينَةَ لَا تَجْرِي عَلَى الْيَبَسِ. You want to pass the test, you want to be saved, but you're not using the proper channel, you know, to succeed, to escape the tragedy. He said, you should know that ships are not meant to work on a dry place. If there is any ship that is meant to work on a dry place, it will be the ship of who? Nuh alayhi salam. But that one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has the ability to let it even fly. But He move it based on the system which he put on earth. And that's why he sent down the water, the rain, from up and down. The ship went up and it moves. So let's prepare for this and always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say in his tashahhud, he used to say, Allahumma hasibni hisaban yasira. Allahumma hasibni hisaban yasira. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. And the person will be going back to his family in the state of happiness. Yeah, when you see a person being happy on the day of judgment, things are okay. You Allah, no way for a person to be happy on the day of judgment except if things are okay. Get the idea? Yeah, when you see you being happy, that's when things are going in the right way. So that's why make sure you are among those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in Surah 2, Abasa, when he says, Dahikatun mustabshira, musfira, dahikatun mustabshira. Those faces who are always smiling, laughing. You know. Is a person laughing? That's when things are going nice. Yeah. If you do the right thing on the day of judgment, you will really see a lot of things. You'll be able to see. Otherwise, you'll be among those who people will watch. Yeah. Don't you ever be among the second category, where people watch you and don't understand what exactly you did in this dunya. You know, there are some people that even the people in hell, they pity them. Yeah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the person will come, his intestine will be dragged inside the hell. It will go in around them, like the raha, you know. In a very, 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 very terrifying way. Even the people of hell, you know, it looks like now they're focusing on him. They will tell him, Fulan, aren't you the one who used to tell us do this and that? You're not supposed to be here. He will tell them, yes, kuntu amurukum bil ma'ruf wa la ati. Wa anhaakum anil munkar wa ati. I used to command you to do good things, but I don't do. And I used to tell you not to do the wrong thing, but I always do. That's why some of the scholars said, وَعَالِمٌ بِعِلْمِهِ لَا يَعْمَلًا مُعَذَّبٌ مِنْ قَبْلِ عُبَّادِ الْوَثَنِ. The one who has knowledge, but he doesn't use the knowledge, might be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the idol worshippers. Therefore, always remember this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep you on a place and ask you about how many things? Four things, right? And عمره فيما أفناه وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه وعن ماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه وعن علمه ماذا عمل به. Four things, you have to answer them before you leave. Number one, your life. How did you spend it? Yeah, if you understand this, then no waste of time. Every single moment will be counted. No waste of time. Because Allah will ask you about your life. How did you spend it? And be honest to yourself. Just sit down and look into your day. Just one day, one day. It will give you a clue of the rest of the day. Because this is who we are. Yeah. Just make a proper, evaluation of your day. Take the normal day, not the day you have the energy to worship Allah. Lord, no, don't go for that because this is not who you are all the time. Take the average, and then one can see. Trust me, if you're not careful out of the 24 hours, you might come up with less than an hour of righteousness. The rest is all malahi, especially with the existence of the kawabis nowadays, the phones. Yeah. Almost everyone is busy. When I'm sitting on my phone, when I'm walking on my phone, go out and see the outside. You know, almost everyone is on his phone. Yeah, if you're reading something good, something beneficial, yes, that's it. For those Facebook and the other books, you know, taking all of your time and every single moment you spend in your life, you're going to regret about that on the day of judgment. The Salaf-us-Salih, they don't understand how. Am I going to spend my time in something which is not beneficial to my dunya or my akhirah? When I say spending time, not wasting time, I don't mean just doing the rituals in the masajid or something which is purely ibadah. No. Spending your time on something that is good and beneficial. Spending your time on something that is good or beneficial, either to your dunya or to your akhirah. And the smartest person is the one who converts his life into an act of worship. That's the best person. You're eating, you're drinking. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed this matter in one ayah in Surah 2 Al-An'am. Just always remember this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِ وَنُسُكِ وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ بِاللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah, the best ayah to address this matter of time management and good utilization of time is this ayah. Tell them my prayer. Prayer here, everything you do which is purely ibadah, active worship, all of them. وَنُسُكِ and my sacrifice. وَمَحْيَايَ and my life. My life means entirely from the time you became matured, you know what is going on. No waste of time. One of our scholars who died not very long, he said, when they asked him, what is the best thing whenever you remember, you are so happy with it. He said, since I became aqil, I know the purpose of life. He said, I cannot remember a single thing I did in my life which is not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You Allah, that's hakadha takunul hayat. He said, I cannot remember something, not a single one, that I did which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not intended in. You Allah, hakadha takunul hayat. Whatever you do in this life, just remember that there is somebody who's watching you and he's the one who brought you here for a purpose. This thing that I'm going to do now, is it serving the purpose in which I'm created for or is not? If it is not, keep it aside and move forward. There are so many dunya things which are going to serve the purpose. It's up to you to put it in that path or to make it dunya, dunya. Yeah, become like that person who Ibn Hazm described, for a person who is looking for the dunya, li ajli ad-dunya. He divided people very, you know, Ibn Hazm, very good at this. He divided people according to their objectives. The person who is looking for this, who's looking for dunya because of this, he looks like this. The person who is looking for dunya because of this, he looks like this. And then he comes to the last one, the person who is looking for dunya because of the dunya. He said, I couldn't find any animals or creation that looks like him except one types of plants. And this plant, he said, is always found on the high mountains, very hard place to go. And on that mountain also, the plant grow inside a cave, which is very harsh to be approached. You know, he said, Ibn Hazm says, to my knowledge, only one bird is able to reach that plant. And as soon as the bird reach that place and eat from it, the plant will get dry and die out of anger that somebody, reaches the place and took from it something. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِ وَنُسُكِ, a sacrifice, slaughtering, or the nusuk, whatever interpretation given to it by the scholars, but the closest one, since Salah is mentioned there, this is also the sacrifice. وَمَمَاتِ وَمَحْيَايَ and my life, وَمَمَاتِ and my death. So you see, your life entirely from the time you are aqil until the time you reach death, لِلَّهِ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَمَاتِ and your death also لِلَّهِ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, meaning you are going to preserve your iman until death. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Do not let yourself die except in a state of Islam and Iman. قَالَ وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا, and a person will go back to his family in the state of surur and happiness. And this أَهْلِهِ هُنَا is referring to Jannah, because after crossing the Sirat, where do we go? We go to that Qantara, that bridge between Jannah and hell. You know, we will be kept in that place. قَنْتَرَةٍ بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ, And this is the place where everyone will forgive each other. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ إِخْوَانًا عَلَىٰ صُرُورٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. In that place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove all the enmity and the rancor or the hatred from our heart. We become brothers and sisters, no hatred at all. And then we'll be going to paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حَتَّى إِذَا نُقُّوا وَحُذِّبُوا أُذِّنَ لَهُمْ بِدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Until the time we are cleansed, you know, وَحُذِّبُوا وَحُذِّبْنَا, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purified us from all of those enmity and rancor, then the permission to go into paradise will be given. Mazin, sorry, if you can just go out. I saw my children looking around. Maybe they are scared of the bell. They think maybe fire or something. Just tell them to go to the office. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So when the people are purified on that bridge, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the permission to go to paradise. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw by Allah, he said, one of us will recognize his house more than the way he recognizes his house in this dunya. That's a part of the hidayah. الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. That's a part of the hidayah. Allah gave you a complete set of hidayah in this life. And in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you. Even at that moment, we'll put the hidayah in your heart, which guides you to your house. You don't go to somebody else's house. You get inside your house, which is meant for you, not other people's house. So you will get inside the paradise. يَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. You get inside the paradise to your family in that place, in the state of happiness. You Allah. And you will see the angels meeting you, telling you what? Salamun alaykum bima sabartum fa ni'ma uqbad dar. Salamun alaykum bima sabartum fa ni'ma uqbad dar. Tahiyyatuhum fiha salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Qala wa amma man uti kitabahu wara'a dhahrihi fasawfa yad'u thubura wa yasla sa'ira innahu kana fi ahlihi masrura innahu dhanna an lan yahur. Bala inna rabbahu kana bihi asira. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for those who receive the book wara'a dhahrihi. Wara'a dhahrihi means from the back, you know, from the back. You know. So that means left hand and also from. These are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about in Surah Al-Qari'ah. القارئة ما القارئة لا ليس الحاقة سورة الحاقة أما من أوتي كتابه بشماله فيقول يا ليتني لم أوت كتابيا. They will be saying we wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be saying we wish we did not receive our book. You know. Yeah, that's why I said this concept of examination also can help a person to see. The one who passed the exams and he got all A's, how is it? You come before you even ask, you say, please, I want to share the happiness with you, you know, see my result. You know. But ashab al-affat, how is it? Bainahum wa bain anfusih. Why do you care about that? You know, if you ask them, what did you get? Why do you care about that? They don't want to share with anyone. They don't want to see people at that time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the person who get it from with their left hand and also from the backside, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسُوفَ يَدْعُوا ثُبُورًا. He will be calling, you know, halak on himself. يَا خَسَارَتِ. You know, ثُبُور is state is halak and loss. He will be describing himself with somebody who absolutely lost. وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا. And he is going to be placed in hell. One of the names of Jahannam. Why is that? Allah says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. In the dunya, he used to be so happy. Why? We cannot be happy in this life? No, you're happy when you're doing the right thing. But you're doing the wrong thing and you're happy. You're happy for what? That's why in some of the celebrations that we do, we're so happy, right? At the end of the year. Yeah, we celebrate. But if you sit down and reflect a lot, you know, if you're going to do something, this is a time of reflection. Right? time of reflection. Just check your life within that year and see. Trust me, you will cry if you have a heart that is soft. See who you are. So you are righteous, you are happy. But you are not doing the righteous thing. Are you happy? For what? You know? And subhanAllah, this is who we are. That's why Ibn al-Jawzi says, one of the lutf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to keep this sense in you. When you commit sin, you really worry so much. Worry so much. You know, like, this is very big name. That you worry so much when you commit sin. If you're not like that, you should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quickly so that this sense will come back to you. That's what keeps us intact. You're very sensitive when it comes to the ma'asi. And you worry a lot when you commit the ma'asi. He said there are some people who lost this. And you will see them being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they don't realize that. It's one of the worst type of thing that can happen to you is to be punished by Allah, and you don't realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing you. How is that? Because any sin that you're committing in this dunya, it is because of the other sin that you have committed. The first one that you do not become patient and you keep doing. It will lead you to other sins like that. And that's why you have to be worried when you see yourself committing sin and you're not stopping. Wallah, you have to worry so much. And the best is to quickly repent so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will block the means for you to move to other types of sins. You get the point, right? If you open the door, other doors also are going to open. So if you repent, Allah will block all of them. So Ibn al-Jawzi says, one of the worst punishment that can happen to a person is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him desensitized. He doesn't sense the khatar, the risk and the danger that is facing him. Allah is punishing him and he doesn't understand the punishment. Do you see our life and see something like this? A lot. And Ibn al-Jawzi says, he said the worst, actually, this is not the worst. He said the one that is worse than this one is the person who is happy with the punishment. And guess what is the example of Ibn al-Jawzi? He said, كَمَنْ يَفْرَحُ بِأَكْلِ الرِّبَى. Nowadays, I bought a new car through riba, and I'm so happy. I call brothers and sisters, لَا قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ, to come and congratulate me. You know, we celebrate. I do a lima. And that car, I bought it through riba. I invest in riba, and I'm so happy because I'm making profit, which is actually riba. Happy with the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why so many people are depressed in this dunya. So please do understand this. It is always better for us. And what fits you is just to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be patient. Yeah. Don't go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry. And if you happen to do something that you know is wrong, quickly repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quickly repent. Don't delay it because you don't know maybe your death will be just after that moment. Just repent as quickly. Don't you ever delay repentance. Al-Akhdari, Abd al-Rahman al-Akhdar, one of the Maliki scholars, in his book, he was saying that if you see a person saying, I will repent in the future, later. He said, this is a sign of khusran. As in this person, if he's not careful, he's going to the situations where nobody will be happy to be in that place. Tawbah cannot be delayed. The best and the only time for tawbah, or at least the best time for tawbah is now. Now. Don't delay it. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to count 70 times of repentance on the daily basis. And don't forget, this is Rasulullah. If you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 70 to 100 times, we should do it more. Yeah. So don't waste time. Whenever you're walking alone, do dhikr. Allahumma gfirli. Allahumma gfirli. Allahumma gfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabul ghafur. Allahumma gfirli wa tub alayya. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Don't sit down and do nothing, you know. You are doing exercise. Do istighfar. You Allah, don't waste time. You're doing exercise. This is dunya. Just do istighfar. By the time you finish that exercise, 1 hour, sometimes exercise 1 hour, no, that's too much, but you did 1 hour exercise. Do istighfar, do dhikr, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let your heart be constantly, I'm constant on this. The Prophet said to somebody who asked him for an advice, he says, la yazalu lisanuka ratban bi dhikrillah. You want to succeed? He said, always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make your tongue constantly remembering Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based the tranquility of the heart on the dhikr. He says, alladhina amanu wa tatma'innu qulubuhum bi dhikrillah, ala bi dhikrillah tatma'innu al-qulub. You know, he says, only through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do heart find tranquility. قال وينقلب إلى فسوف يدعو ثبورا ويصلى سعيرا إنه كان في أهله مسرورا إنه ظن أن لن يحور بلى إن ربه كان به بصيرا. سبحان الله. That person used to think that no, he will not go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أن لن يحور means أن لن يرجع إلى الله عز وجل. He will not come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala بعد موته after he died. Yeah, that's what dunya sometimes takes some people. They'll be so drunk in the way they will start thinking that as long as they have this dunya, they will not die. Their predecessors said what? وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِبَةً. He was so rich, he thinks that even the day of judgment is a joke, it will not happen. And he joked also again. وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. And even if I'm to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I believe I will find the best place being prepared for me. Allah, this is ghurur and sukran, you know. Allah says, يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. So he used to think that he will not die as long as he has this wealth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, it's not the issue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take him back to him. And inna rabbahu kana bihi basira. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watched every single part of his life. Allah knows what he did. What he did precisely, and he is going to be judged based on what he did. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lutfu wa tufiq wa salamata fi dunya wal akhirah. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafil. So we stop here, inshallah. Let's move to question and answer session. Barakallahu fikum. I guess the next class is going to be in Ramadan, right? Inshallah. What do you think? You guys, can you be patient? I don't want to be teaching dead people in Ramadan. If we have a class at, let's say, 3:30, we're going to cancel our best brother, Abdurrahman. Is very important person to us in this class. So I'm trying to see the time that we... You all live in UAE, right? Yeah. Ask me, so you guys to break your fast on the way. No family, no anybody. It doesn't matter where you when the Maghrib is, you know. Anyway, if you don't mind, we can have a very short class of 30 minutes for instance, 35 minutes, 40 minutes maximum. And a question and answer, so we can begin the class maybe 6 exactly and end it, or 6:15 and end it by 7. Whether there is question, there is no question. Mazin is just the time stopwatch, you know, when the 7 thing just ring, just tell us, cancel, just start switching off the cameras. We just have to stop. So I don't know whether you can be patient, because I don't want to push people. I know sometimes a person, people are very exhausted at that moment. But if you can focus, yeah, we can have the class physical. Yeah, inshallah. Oh, they have making comment. Yes, thank you, Yusuf.
It is?
This is
One of the brothers, he entrusted me with something during the COVID time. This brother is not in UAE anymore.
Left.
He left, but his things are still with him. So what he did was, he said that these things that belong to him, he gives it to another brother. Another brother took the things. The thing is, there are two problems. The first thing is that some of the things, like at the refrigerators, I was told by the landlord, who should I tell it to? The previous owner or the one that?
The second owner.
Because
now he's the owner, he already gave it to me.
And also, I found money that belongs to him, I haven't given him.
The one that owns the money. The second or the first? Yeah, if the second is this, I mean, if he gave also the money to the second owner, then you just inform the second owner.
Because I'm not sure if he intended the money or not. He said, I give my things, but at that time he didn't.
You have no clue to ask him?
No.
You don't have any clue where to?
I messaged him, but he didn't answer.
He did not answer. And keep quiet. Message him again. The money is still with you or you already passed it? I stay with you. Just message him. Yahi, I have your money here with me. What do I do with it? Please reply. Yeah. If he doesn't reply, then you wait until 1 year. Give it in charity on his behalf. Or give it to the authority in UI. Tell them what exactly happens, but you don't want to keep this amana with you. Please, you guys should keep it. And send him a message that I pass it to this department. That's it. Yeah.
Another question is, I also keep it for two more brothers, and these brothers also left the university. One of the brothers kept another one, he went to another university.
I think you should start tying them with the rope, you know. They give you a mana and they run. Yeah.
It has been 2020. Yeah, it has been 3 years now. And no one has said.
That's why you should always ask Ahl al-Dhikr before you take action. Yeah.
No, there was.
Come on, ask me. I have a lot of experience like this. That's why I don't take amana from a student who is living in Malaysia. But then he has to tell me what is it for. And he has to write down or tell me verbally that in case you don't come back, this amana is this and that. I got a brother who gave me his books. I suffered to look for him, you know. Suffered to look for him. And sometimes also these things went missing. So you have to come and make other ijtihadat, you know. That's why the second person also gave me his mini library. I told him, you have to agree that if you don't come back to, and subhanAllah, he never came back to Malaysia. I don't know how many years now. If you don't come back to Malaysia, these books are waqf like mine. Mine also is waqf. So I would just put them as waqf. I would not look for you. I would not trouble myself. Yeah, that's the best way to make it. Anyone who gives you something, he has to write in black and white or tells you that if I don't come back, this thing is for this. That's it. And then you are free. Otherwise, this is what is going to happen. You keep on looking for them. You couldn't find them, you know. And sometimes you message him, maybe he changes his number. This is another person. That person doesn't even know what you're talking about. He thinks this is scam, you know.
At the time, there was no high student in the university. All of them went back home. So I was the only undergraduate, and they can contact me. And they just told me, so we need you to help. So I kept it for them, but they just went quiet for 3 years now.
Yeah.
I think one of the brothers, he came here to visit him, and he didn't say anything.
Usually he forgot, most likely, you know. But the problem is Allah did not forget, and he will remind him on the day of judgment. And say, trust me, he will come and tell Yusuf, I gave you something last time. Because he's desperate looking for reward, you know. Anything, remember and tell Yusuf, I gave you my amana, where is it? And you have to pay him back. So it's better from now, whenever somebody gives you something, if he is a student, ask him to agree that if he doesn't come back, this thing has to go to charity. I'm not going to keep it with me. I will give it to somebody. He agrees, then khalas, alhamdulillah. If he comes back, alhamdulillah. If he doesn't come back, and fix a time, when are you coming back? I mean, coming back after 1 year. After 1 year, my dear brother, if I don't see you, I'm going to give it in charity. Yeah, otherwise you remain like this for ages and ages. Yeah, there was a time some of them I had to, I don't know, how did I get rid of those things? Somebody told me that the father of that student agreed that all of his books to be just given. Yeah, I brought them to UI. He used to be also a UI student. Very heavy books he bought. I just give them to people who are in need of them. I think I already, I don't want to keep any amana. No, I don't have any. All of those people who gave me their books, I look for them. Alhamdulillah. Allah SWT saved me from being like Yusuf. So I got them. I told them, give me a clear statement that those books are given. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good. But this is what you should do. If he doesn't reply, just go to and give it to them. I prefer the authority because he might just pop up just like that and tell you, where is my money? Show him, brother, I sent you a message that I'm going to do this and that. I'm not a bank. I can't keep money for long. So I told you to come and pick it up or to tell me what to do with it. You are not even replying my message. So I give it to the authority. You have to go to them. Yeah, the son, they have this controversy, either the one that is blaming a person. So some of them said, it's the one that blames you when you do the right thing. Some of them said, it's the one that blames you when you do the wrong thing. You know, so you have these two different interpretations of the scholars concerning the nafsu al-lawwama, allati talumu sahibaha. So, Wallahu alam, al-aqrab is the one that blames a person when he is going in the wrong direction. Yeah. You have the evil one. Yeah. You have nafsul mutma'inna. You have the nafsul ammara bisu. Yeah, the one that commands you to go and do righteousness. Then you have the middle one, nafsul lawwama. The best is nafsul al-mutma'inna. Ibn Qayyim has a very nice description of it in terms of the position of that tuma'nina that the soul is having. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salamat wa nafiya.
The Arabs, when someone
dies, they like to say, I don't know why they get that. What you should be doing is to do what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Allahu inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajirna fi musibatina wa akhlifna khayran minha. And bi idhnillah azza wa jalla, you get a replacement and you'll be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. That's for reciting ayat, or I don't know exactly where did they get that from, the Salaf al-Saleh. That's the angel saying, "Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna," because they have the, you know, they have the permission and they know what they're talking about. But as if we say, "What are we talking about?" And how do we know? Angels, when they said mutma'inna irji ila rabbika radiyatan mardiya, they know what they're talking about. But if I tell the person irji ila rabbika mutma'inna, I'm calling that person mutma'inna. How do I know he's mutma'inna? Okay, I'm afraid that person might be saying things and angel will be telling him kadabt. Yeah, because they know the reality, who this person is. So we just say what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to say and seek the forgiveness for them from Allah as the best. Finish?
Salam, Sheikh. Is there specific topic for missing Salat Jumu'ah? Three times in a row with valid reasons.
No problem. If somebody has reason to miss Juma and he missed it, valid reason. Valid reason means Islamically valid reason. Nothing. He doesn't need to do even istighfar. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it halal for you to miss Juma, then it's okay. You're doing istighfar for general things you are doing, but not for this one because you're not committing sin. Yeah. But if a person misses Juma 3 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lock on his heart if he doesn't have any excuse. It's a very, very dangerous thing. Prophet said, "Ma min thalathati." There will be no 3 people who live in a community. لا تقام فيهم الجماعة أو الجمعة. And Juma is not being established or Jama'ah is not being established. إلا استحوذ عليهم الشيطان. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let them be dominated by the shaitan. That's why the best opinion concerning the adad al-hudur fi salat al-jum'ah is the one that says 3 people. Looking at this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. If you have 3 people, then they have to pray Jum'ah. Yeah. Some people said 2. So if you have 2 people, one of them is the khatib and the other one is... Sheikh Abu Rawash, my Quran teacher in Medina, he says, I really want to see this Jum'ah by these two brothers. You know, one of them is standing, giving khutbah to only one person in front of him. Yeah, according to the opinion that says 2 are enough. Yeah, that's how it is. I know, maybe he prays he's a musafir. Maybe he is musafir, you know. Yeah, so he's going to be pointing at him, ittaqillah, you know. Sure, after the Juma, he's going to tell him, what did I do, you know? for sure, you are referring to something, you know, in my life, you know. Anyway, so Wallahu alam, the best and the closest opinion is 3 people. So it's very dangerous to miss Juma. But this is not a free ticket also for those people who they are called Jum'ah Muslim. Yeah. They pray only on Jum'ah, on Friday. Other than Friday, you don't see that. Why Jum'ah? Because they don't want to be in this hadith. You know? Masakin. Yullah. Masakin. Yeah? Yeah, if they know this.
I'm not sure if I find them in Malaysia, but in my country it happens a lot. Like during khutbah, some people they won't stay in the masjid, they will stay outside the masjid, they will sit and talk and eat and all that stuff. And when the imam comes in, they will pray the work. So they deliberately.
They lost almost everything, those guys. No, the Juma is okay. That's prayer, that 2 rakat, they got. As long as they have khushu in it, they got. But Juma have no value. Completely. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَمَّا سَلْحَصَى فَقَدْ لَغَى إِذَا قُلْتَ لِصَاحِبِكَ أَنْصِتْ فَقَدْ لَغَوْتَ. And the closest opinion concerning the lagu is ذَهَبَتْ فَضِيلَةُ جُمَعَتِهِ. Any virtue that is attached to Juma is gone. The Jum'ah have no value completely. That's why one of the things we're doing, which is wrong, but most of us don't know. You get the idea? Okay. You're coming from which mahalla? Okay, any mahalla. Bilal. You're coming from Bilal. Whoever you're coming from. Yeah, Bilal. Do you listen? You hear the khutbah from Bilal? No. Okay, you're coming from Bilal. And then you walk on the way. Yeah, you can talk, you can chat, you can do everything. But the moment you start listening to the khutbah and you're going to the masjid, the scholar said, from that time, you have to keep quiet. Yeah, most of us don't know this. You know? You're going to the masjid. If you're not going to the masjid, no problem, keep chatting. Yeah, but when you are coming out to the masjid, the moment the khutbah started reaching you from that moment, the one that I found reminding people for this was Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, because if you can hear the khutbah, then you have to listen. That khutbah is meant for you. listen to the khutbah, you pay attention to it, and do not talk to anyone. So sometimes you meet people, they say salam to you, just shake their hand, reply, salam, you know, al-akhtilaf, or reply in your mind, and then leave. What I usually do, I try to avoid people. I pretend I don't see. Subhanallah, sometimes some people will come, and they have to come and shake your hand. Yeah. So just try to just look down and pretend that you don't see people. And we get inside the masjid, no salam, no raising up a hand to anyone. Just go and pray the two rakat and sit down. So the point is, from the time you started listening to the khutbah, even if you're out of the masjid, you have to listen. So those people who are next to the masjid, it's haram for them to talk. Yeah, it would distract others. When they come to the masjid, they're sitting outside, inside. Even if the khutbah is in the language you don't understand, you just have to listen. Yeah, because sometimes we bring our phones, we talk to the phone, we check our WhatsApps, we check our Facebook and other things. Why? Because the khutbah is in another language that I don't understand. No. You just have to listen, even if you don't understand. Sometimes we bring books. That's a good ones, actually. They bring books or they revise, or some of us, we revise our Quran. Yeah, these are all wrong practices. Supposed to keep everything just focused on the imam. If you don't understand, just keep silent. Don't look at him, just listen. The worst are those who bring their newspapers to the masjid to watch, you know, just to read, you know. So get it, Yusuf. So that's a very wrong practice we are doing. Yeah, a lot of people, a lot of things, you know. That's it. Next question.
Due to traveling from one country to other, when it happens so that the days differ, what should be maintained in terms of the number, as in which is compulsory fasting minimum 29 or 30? Will 31 be prohibited for anybody, or will 28 be less and needs to be made up?
So, very good question. You start your fast in Malaysia. Yeah. And then you went to another country. They do not start with Malaysia. You get it? So they start after Malaysia. So most likely you're going to be having, if you fast with them when they break their fast, if they completed the month, you're going to have 31 days. Many people ask about this. Can you break your fast at the day number 30? No, you can't. You break your fast with those people. 31 days. Because it is Ramadan in that country. And it's haram for you to eat in Ramadan. You go with the location. Wherever you are, you're governed by that place. You know? So you cannot break your fast. You have to go with them. Even if they go to 31. Or you are in Bilad al-Ajib, you know, you're going for 32. You just have to go with them. You have to. You cannot break your fast because it is Ramadan in that place. You get it? And the second situation is when you started the fast, but subhanAllah, if you, in the country you left, they fasting 30. But in the country now you are in, they are fasting 29. The same, you go also with them. But the only problem is if the number is going to reduce by 2 days. In which in the second country, you will be, they're fasting 29 days, but you are fasting 28 days. You get idea? That means you fasted maybe a day after they started. Yeah, so you end up fasting 28 days. In this case, after Ramadan, you have to make up 1 day because there is no month in the Islamic calendar which is 28 days. You break your fast with them. On the day of Eid, you don't fast. Haram for you to fast. If they are making Eid, you do your Eid, but after Ramadan, you have to make up one day. Yeah, that's how easy is the matter, inshallah. Finish? Still?
to fast after 10 days after Ramadan to increase the reward?
6 days out, 10 days.
6 days of Shawwal.
Yeah.
6 days. So, person has to fast all the Ramadan. If he leaves, then he has to make a photo.
Yeah, that's a controversial matter among the scholars. The opinion that I'm satisfied with is the majority's view that a person has to complete Ramadan first before they start doing the Shawwal.
Individual was traveling and then he only fasted 28 days.
Mm-hmm.
So he cannot.
Yeah, that's when I'm coming to that. So the correct approach is to fast Ramadan to finish it first. Let's say a sister missed some days. She has to finish Ramadan first, make up all the days, and then come and fast the Shawwal. So that, because if you are fasting Shawwal, what are you completing then? Because that's those 6 days of Shawwal, they are completing a calculation for you to get the reward of like fasting a Dahr. But you are not done. You are completing what? Do you get the point, right? So that means your reward is going to be delayed until the time you finish the Ramadan. If we take that one. So this is the opinion to be followed, except for those people who can't. If they are to replace the Ramadan first, Shawwal will finish. Because a sister, sometimes if she has, let's say, 15 days to replace, do you get the idea? By the time she finished replacing the 15 days, most likely before she finished the Shawwal, another time is going to come when she cannot fast. So she lost. That's why in this circumstance, inshallah, she can fast the Shawwal because of the udhr. She fasts the Shawwal first if she has so many days. Yeah, but if she has only 7 days, if she has only 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 7 days, no, this one she has to finish it first and then go for the Shawwal. But if she has a lot of days, no, she can fast the Shawwal first and then go and fast the Ramadan afterward, inshallah. The same goes to Musafir who broke the fast for so many days that if he is to finish Ramadan, maybe Shawwal will finish. He might not catch up Shawwal, so he does the Shawwal. But in the normal circumstances, no. You finish Ramadan first, and then you do the Shawwal. And that's the best opinion and the safest opinion. Because if you do this, la atasawwar. I cannot imagine somebody, even to imagine somebody who will say you are wrong. Allahumma illa ala fatwa fulan. Yeah, we have a lot of characters in this life. Somebody told them that actually, this is the creativity that we have in this dunya nowadays. He says, actually, when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Man sa'ama Ramadan, thumma atba'ahu sittam min Shawwal," the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not talking about Shawwal specifically. So it's just talking about ability. No matter you have ability, you can fast Shawwal, Zakira, Dhul Hijjah, Ramadan. The point is to have one time that you fast. Yeah. 6 days. So sometimes some of the ta'wil, there are some place, you know, to put it. But some of the ta'wil, you have nothing except to say Allahu musta'an and continue with your work, you know. So Allahu alam is safer, is the safest opinion is to finish Ramadan first and then come on, fast the 6 days of Shawwal. Has it done? I thought somebody told me this is the last question. Another one came.
Next question, sir. There is ongoing invite by a certain group in Malaysia to visit churches. What is your view or advice regarding this concern?
They shouldn't do. A Muslim is not allowed to visit the places of worship of others. As even our place, when you make a preparation to go to that place, you know, Allah SWT doesn't like it except for three masajid. You know, Masjid al-Aqsa, Masjid al-Haram, and Masjid al-Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What do you think about other places? But this time we hear a lot of ajaib, you know. I'll finish. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Yeah, last one, Hortel, I grant you good. And for the Ramadan classes, inshallah, we will finalize everything with those people who are in charge and then share their views. Yeah. But I want people to be honest. Look into yourself and your ability to come. I don't want to come and then you guys are not able to attend the classes. Otherwise, we can just have it online completely. It doesn't have the taste, but yeah, better than losing everything. Okay, inshallah. Allah grant you good and tawfiq. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.